Perhaps the greatest treasure on this earth and one of the only things that will survive this life is human relationships, old friends. We are indeed rich if we have friends. Friends who have loved us through the problems, heartaches, and reversals of life. Deep, true, joyful friendships. Life is just too short and eternity too long to live without old friends.
Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Sunday morning sunshine, bathing in the land. Sunday morning people, with their Bibles in their hand. He wonders why they pass him by, walk around him on the street, to shade the light that replaced the night. He cups his hands to see, while in the shadow of the steeple, someone's crying. Does anybody care? Can't they hear him crying? In the shadow of the steeple, someone's crying. Preachers talk about the need in the foreign land. He said, ain't you heard, we are the world. Let's lend a helping hand. It's getting late, pass the plate. Do the best you can. Congregation rises. Somebody says, amen. While in the shadow of the steeple, someone's crying. Does anybody care? Can't they hear him crying? In the shadow of the steeple, someone's crying. A worn-out coat he neatly folds, puts it under his head, while the shadow of the steeple rests upon his face. A choir sings, church bells ring, people gather round. They just shake their head as they walk away from the figure lying on the ground. While in the shadow of the steeple, someone's dying. Does anybody care? Don't they know he's dying? In the shadow of the steeple, someone's dying. Shadow of the steeple, souls are dying. Does anybody care? Can't they hear them crying? Don't they know they're dying? We need to listen to their crying. We need to reach out to the people there beneath the steeple. Don't let the shadow of the steeple find them dying.
I've sinned for so long, life scarcely had meaning for me. A prisoner to Satan and blinded by sin, believing I could never be free. But in my desperation, I called on the Lord, and an altar of prayer I prayed through. The chains fell away like the darkness of dawn, and He told me just what I must do. I'll just lay down and leave it. I'll lay down and leave it. I'll carry this burden no more. The same hand that lifted this burden of sin will lead me on through heaven's door. Now down in this valley of cares in this life, and troubles so often with pain, and all of the money I've made in this life could never my good health regain. But it doesn't matter to me anymore, for soon now this old house shall fall. My glorified body will rise from the grave at the sound of my dear Savior's voice. I'll just lay down and leave it. I'll lay down and leave it. I'll carry this burden no more. The same hand that lifted this burden of sin will lead me on through heaven's door. I'll just lay down and leave it. I'll lay down and leave it. And a gravestone I'll need it no more.
Read of a city, John saw coming down from God out of heaven. The walls are of jasper, the gates are of pearl, the streets of pure gold. He tells of a pure river of life that flows from the throne. And when we have reached that beautiful place, we're known as we're known. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river where loved ones dwell who've gone on before. If you leave here first, just wait by the river. If I leave you here, that's where you'll find me. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. If you leave me standing here on this earth, just wait by the river. It's such a good place for us to meet over there. And after I find you, let's go see Jesus. Then let's go find our dad and mother. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore.
Bless me by the river, over on that beautiful shore. Bless me by the river, where loved ones dwell, who've gone on before. If you leave here first, just wait by the river. If I leave you here, that's where you'll find me. Let's meet by the river, over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river, over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river, where loved ones dwell, who've gone on before. If you leave here first, just wait by the river. If I leave you here, that's where you'll find me. Let's meet by the river, over on that beautiful shore.
Let's title this message today, The Fool Who Disgraced God. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9, the Bible says this, The fool makes a mockery of sin. Straight talk in our modern society today is a very rare commodity. Mr. T.S. Eliot, a writer of theology, made this statement, We humans cannot bear very much reality. We are divided over many different things. What is right? What is wrong? What is good? What is bad? What we should do and what we shouldn't do. Moreover, we have made the wrong things the right things, and the right things seem to be the wrong things. Wickedness is growing more wickeder every day. Wicked people are hardening in the wickedness of their sin. They have made laughter of the matters of sin, and also the matter of others. They make a light matter of their own sin because they cannot recognize their sin. A recent poll was made not long ago, and 58% said this, Satan is not a living being, he's only the symbol of evil. 29% said the ideal of sin has been outdated. 32%, many of the things that preachers preach about today, they're really not sin. We do not want to hear the good thing about life today. And life consists of good and evil. Life consists of bad and evil. It seems today that we just don't hear good and we don't listen to what God is saying. Isaiah 59:1 says, Ears are heavy that they cannot hear. Man's perception and opinion has been altered over the years. Man has called it an accident, but God has called it an abomination. Man calls it a chance, but God has called it a choice. Man has called it a defeat, but God is calling it a disease. Man is calling it luxury. To God, it is leprosy. Man has called it a mistake, but God has called it madness. Man calls it weakness, but God calls it willfulness. In Proverbs chapter 14 also, in verse 12, God calls any person a fool who would look at sin differently than he does. The Bible still says, the soul that sin, it shall surely die. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And today, we make that choice. Three truths I'd like to speak about today that must be considered about sin. Step number one is reproach of sin that must be explained. Verse 9, fools make a mock of sin. The Bible said the fool says in his heart there is no God. But one of the translations said the fool would like to say in his heart there was no God. Because God has become the issue. And it's become an issue of our Supreme Court. It's become an issue of the Ten Commandments. The schools and colleges down in Florida, they said that God is the problem of our nation. But God needs to be the center focus of our nation because the verse 34 said, Righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin not only brings reproach, but it will leave its mark upon every life. In Psalms 32, 3 and 4, in verse 4, day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of the summer. Isaiah describes its marks in Isaiah 1, verse 5 and verse 6. The whole head is sick and the heart is fainting. From the soles to the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness. Wounds and bruises and petrifying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. James describes the marks of sin in James 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Susan Wesley defines sin to her son John Wesley. Whatever weakens your reasons, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, and makes the relish of spiritual things, that to you is a sin. There was a painter who painted a picture. He wanted to use a very common person. He painted a picture of the most beautiful person upon the street, the person with countenance, the person with the eyes who sparkle with the glamour and the beauty of life. He painted the picture, and it was a beautiful portrait. He wanted to go back and paint the reverse side of a fallen person. He went out on the streets again. He chose a person. He chose that person because that person had been sin-beaten. Their eyes were laden with sin. Their life was laden with sin. You could see it in their countenance. They chose them to paint the picture of a person who was laden with sin and the marks of sin. He painted the picture, and it true enough was. It was a picture of a down-beaten person. After the picture had been painted, the man made the statement, "Hey, you painted my picture before." And the person said, "When did I do that?" And they related back to the picture of the person with the beautiful countenance. But now sin has taken control of the life, and sin has changed the entire person into a picture of what sin can really do. You see, there is misery in sin. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." In verse 8, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap the Spirit and life everlasting." Sin will bring about some results. There is some results that are brought in sin. Proverbs 14 and 12, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." In Mark 8 and 36, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and then lose his very soul?" Verse 37, "What shall he give in exchange for his soul?" Sin will bring damnation. And sin that brings damnation should be a sin that should be feared. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, verse 15, verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them." Verse 12, "And I saw the dead, the small and the great, as they all stood before God. And there was a great separation, because those who had lived the life of sin were separated. The Bible said the unprofitable servant was taken, cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." Now, sir, don't be a fool. Don't mock the thing that God said is sin. God does not want to harm you. God wants to help you. Hell was not prepared for you, sir. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil is very persuasive. Sin will only last for a little while, but joy with God will last throughout the eternal ages. Judgment will come against sin. The soul that sins, it will be judged. We will stand before the just judge, and there will be judged for the sins and the deeds that's done in this body. You go to hell simply because you rejected the God who is willing and able to deliver you from your sin. Jesus told the story about a rich man and a poor man. The rich man did not go to hell because of his riches. The poor man did not go to heaven because he was a poor man. It simply was a picture of the rejection of Christ. The rich man had the opportunity. The poor man took advantage of the opportunity. And today, we can do the same thing. You can reject Christ and be forever lost. You can accept Christ and be forever saved. And the rich man died without God. He lifted up his eyes. He was in hell. The poor man lifted up his eyes, and he was in eternal bliss. And today, we can do the same thing. The fool that makes a mock of sin, when you say that we will not be judged for our sin, God is so loving that He will not put us into hell. Yes, that's true.
God, I'm not on an eagle tree. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes, I often slip. Just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. The look of love was on His face. The thorns were on His head. Blood was on His scarlet robe. Stained the crimson red. Though His eyes was on the crowd that day, He looked ahead in time. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind.
Not a word to speak. Father led His favorite son toward a mountain peak. Each step would bring them near the place where the sacrifice would burn. Just before the lad would die, Father Abraham will learn. There's a miracle on the other side of the mountain. Step by step it climbs to meet you at the highest point of faith, where hope unites with promise, mercy makes a way. There's a miracle on the other side today. For no apparent reason, a lamb begins to climb. A along a rocky mountainside, some greener grass to find. How could he know that he'd become the answer on its way? Isaac would not have to die, he would live to say, there's a miracle on the other side of the mountain. Step by step it climbs to meet you at the highest point of faith, where hope unites with promise, mercy makes a way. There's a miracle on the other side today. Walk on a little farther, no matter how you feel, you'll never know what's lying up ahead. Oh, there's a miracle on the other side of the mountain. Step by step it climbs to meet you at the highest point of faith, where hope unites with promise, mercy makes a way. There's a miracle on the other side today, where hope unites with promise and mercy makes a way. There's a miracle on the other side today. There's a miracle on the other side today.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC 80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC 80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.